But I want to share a message tonight that the Lord's laid on my heart entitled Reaching Distant Shores. And as I share this message with you tonight, I want to tell you more about where we are going. If you were here this morning, the missionaries, the Boyds, they shared a report about what's been happening in Panama, and they showed this incredible picture of a building that's going up as a training center, literally sending out Latin leaders all over Latin America, and I'm sure all around the world, to be a witness for the gospel of Jesus. And I love how Missionary Boyd, how he started with a picture of him preaching in a kindergarten class to a graduating group of youngsters, and he described it, though you couldn't see it in the picture, as sweat pouring down his forehead because of probably the nervousness of sharing maybe for the first time in Spanish or just to kids, or the nervousness, of course, of sharing to children, which can be daunting in and of itself. But I loved how he transitioned from that in the beginning and all the way through the years to where he is today. And you know what? Here's what I know is that you wouldn't have this, right? The incredible thing that God has done without the this. It has to start somewhere, and it goes on. And for us right now, we're still in a starting phase in a sense. Yes, we're missionaries and we've been in mission life, but today we're telling you, as we head back to Spain next summer, that we're going to be starting brand new from scratch, ground zero, planting a new international church in a city called Malaga, which is about as far south in Spain as you can get. And Malaga is an incredible city. It's a city a lot like Milwaukee demographically. There are about 675,000 to 700,000 people that live in the center city, and about another million on the outside. And it's a city that has incredible history. It was founded by the Phoenicians thousands of years ago. It's been an important city in that region for many, many years. And it's amazing to watch how God is raising up this city to be a force in Spain and a force in the Mediterranean in all sorts of different ways. But as this is happening, the Lord has opened up a door for us to go. And here's what we're believing, that God is going to help us. God is going to do this work. And he's going to plant a church. And we're going to be faithful. And we're going to pour ourselves into it. And he's going to touch lives. And our prayer is that one day it will be in a place where we'll not only have one church, but God will open up the doors for us to plant more international churches, to plant national churches, partnering with local leaders to do that right in that city, because there are so few churches there, and to plant as well campuses throughout the region, and believe that God is going to use those different places as a light for people who have no opportunity to hear the gospel message, to see the light, and to know the hope that we have. Tonight, I want to share with you for a moment more about this as I share this message, Reaching Distant Shores. And you know what? No missions message is complete without starting it the right way, with going back to the beginning, Matthew chapter 28, where Jesus gives the Great Commission, right? And here's what he says to his followers, and these words echo down to us today, here, right now, in this room. He says to us, go and make disciples of all nations. Go and make disciples. This is a call to bold action. It's a call to step into the difficult, to not be afraid to get dirty, to not be afraid to be uncomfortable, to press in when it's hard, so that his light would shine in places where it has yet to shine, and that those would be able to respond who have yet to respond to this gospel message that we embrace. Today, tonight, I want to look at a story from Mark chapter 4. We're going to look at this story where Christ draws the attention of his disciples to a neglected people, to a people that were far from Christ's presence geographically in that moment, yet they were so, so very close to his heart. These were people that were in a place that would be very, very difficult for the disciples to get to. They would not only be difficult to get to, but they would be difficult for the disciples to speak to. In fact, these were a people that would be difficult for the disciples to even be around. And Jesus draws their attention to a distant shore one day, a place they had never considered going before. They'd never looked to that area. They'd never thought about this person, the Messiah, Jesus, the God of Israel even, being somebody who would care about them, but Christ was going to change their hearts and their minds. Tonight I want to share with you a message entitled Reaching Distant Shores. And I want to start with the very beginning of mission, where Jesus says, go and make. You see, mission, it starts with the called. It starts with me, with you and me. Those who call themselves followers of Jesus. We are called to go and make disciples. Mission starts with me. And I think this is so appropriate as we kind of start into this World Impact Week on this Sunday night to think about, okay, what is it, God, that you want to do in my life? If mission starts with me, what is it that you want to do? Because here's what I understand, and I know you know this too, that if God is going to do something through us, he has to start by doing something new in us. So I want to pray, and then we're going to dive into this scripture here tonight. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for your love for us. Thank you, Lord, that the gospel has come to us. God, where would we be without you? Where would our families be without you? Lord, tonight we think of those all over this world who have yet to hear. There's so much we don't understand, so much we don't see, so much that's hard to feel and grasp. But God, you're calling us to go and make disciples. And so tonight, God, I pray that you would do something special, that you would speak, that we would hear your voice, and that you would give us courage like we've never had before to do the very thing that you are calling us to do, to be a part of what you're doing all over this world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever tried to take a long road trip with an old car? Have you ever tried to do something like this? I mean, you're just set up from the beginning. So I remember one day, it was maybe 26, 27 years ago, my dad turned to me. I was in the kitchen in the home that I grew up in and having a meal with my parents. And my dad said, Mark, let's go up to the hunting camp. Would you want to come and help me? I'm planning to do this. I'd like you to come help me out. Let's get ready for hunting in the fall. And I'm like, yes, I'm there. You don't even have to ask me. I'm coming because I love doing that kind of stuff. I love, you know, spending time with my father and working together and getting ready for something that I'm passionate about. So yes, 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 yes. And my mom is in the room and she asks my dad the question and she says, Carl, what car are you going to take? Now, she knew what car he was going to take, right? But wives are pretty smart and they have a way of trying to help us husbands understand what we should do and shouldn't do. So she asked this question and my dad answered the way she knew that he was going to answer. He said, I'm going to take the old station wagon. Now, when he said old station wagon, this is the definition of an old station wagon. I mean, everywhere it went, wherever you parked it, you knew it was there by the puddles that it left underneath it. I mean, this thing was a disaster. And he's like, we're taking the old station wagon. And she said to him, Carl, if that car breaks down, I'm not going to come and pick you up. And he said, no problem, no problem. And so we went up and we made it all the way up there, a couple hundred miles up to the hunting camp, did our work, had a great time. And we're on the way back, maybe 60, 70 miles from home. And we're driving at night and going down the interstate and having good conversation. I'm in the passenger seat. My dad's driving. And I noticed this kind of brownish black liquid starting to splash up on the windshield. And I'm thinking, I don't know a lot about cars, but I know this is not good. And so my dad hits the gas down as hard as he could and he floors it and gets as much energy out of that engine as he could get before it was ready to die. And he somehow we make it up this exit ramp and we go off the interstate and we pull up to the top and we glide right into the gas station, put it in park, and that's it. That's all she wrote. The car was dead. He went in, called my mom and said, Jill, you need to pick us up. And my wife and my mom came and rescued us that night. You know, I think, nobody wants to get stuck, right? And I think many times when we think of a trip like that, we pretty much have some good sense not to take the old car on a long road trip. But I think sometimes when it comes to mission, when it comes to being a part of this great commission, when it comes to being a part of something like this, Maybe we think, you know, I'll just do what I did last year, right? Or I'll do it the way I've done it in the past. Or I'll just kind of keep same old. And here's my point in this, is that to do the things that God's calling us to do, to step into those new places that he's calling us to step into, he needs to do something new in us. You see, last year's vision isn't good enough for this year. Last year's passion isn't good enough for this year. Last year's faith, the faith that God gave us last year to believe and to step in and to say, yes, let's do it this way. It's not enough for what he's calling us to today, this year, and in the time before us. Can I tell you this? God must do something new in us so that he can do something new through us. Our world is facing incredible challenges. Incredible challenges. It's unprecedented. God has something to say. He is speaking. He has truth to guide. He has peace to calm hearts. And he offers life to those who would surrender to him. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus, he was about to introduce a new idea to the disciples that would radically shake them. He was inviting them into his mission, but his mission clashed with their beliefs. And in this story, Jesus was not only reaching a people he had not yet reached, he was transforming his disciples into something new. And so Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41, this is kind of some favorite text of mine and all the different gospels, the way they portray this story, but here's how Mark says it. It says, that day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. In other words, let's reach the distant shore. And leaving the crowd behind, they took Jesus along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" And Jesus got up, and he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And they were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." So the question I ask you tonight, I pose to us tonight as we look at this text is this. What do we need to reach distant shores? What does God need to do in us to reach and do the things he's calling us to do in the times right before us, right now? What do we need to reach distant shores? Well, there's three things I want to draw your attention to. The first thing is this. We need new eyes. Pastor talked about that this morning. What we see. New eyes. In Mark chapter 8, verse 18, Jesus asked his disciples a little later after this story, he asked, "Do you have eyes but fail to see?" You know, their sight was often fixed on the exterior, but Jesus was challenging them to see what he saw, to see with new eyes. And that is my prayer tonight. God, would you help us? Would you help me? Would you help us collectively to see with new eyes, with your eyes? See, they were seeing the way that they were taught, right? They were seeing the way that they were taught. When Jesus asked them to look to this distant shore, his request to them, it seemed ludicrous. The mission of Christ, it would challenge their beliefs to see that people apart from the house of Israel, people different from them, to see them with new eyes, to see them the way that God sees them. Oh, the perception of the Gentiles and the Jews towards one another, it was quite complicated. They didn't like each other. The Jews didn't like the Gentiles didn't like the Jews. And there were all sorts of backstories and complications and issues that would make them feel this way, but Jesus was changing the way that they saw those outside of Israel. He was challenging his disciples to see with new eyes. I remember the first time I saw Malaga, Spain. I was only 20 years old. It seems so long ago. And I had an opportunity to travel to Malagan, be a part of a mission trip during the summer, a reach team, so to speak, with a church in Michigan. It was a team of young adults, and man, did we have fun. Like, you know, it's everything that you probably think that young 20-year-olds kind of fun stuff would be, just serving the Lord and just loving on each other and having a blast doing ministry there. And my eyes were so opened. I was blown away by the need in Europe. You see, prior to going to Europe, prior to going on this trip, there were moments I would kind of scratch my head and I would wonder, why Europe? You know, there's certain segments and parts of this ministry that they're talking about and we're preparing for. I can see that. That makes sense. You know, we're going to minister to Muslims that are crossing the straits, and we did, and it was powerful, and it was more than what I even thought it would have been. And I mean, it was just mind-blowing. But a European, you know, they dress better than me, and they still do. They drive nicer cars. They have pockets filled with money. They have a historical Jesus at the least. Why do they need the good news? My eyes were opened as we walked through the streets around the city of Malaga, through the entertainment districts until 2 and 3 in the morning. I remember one moment where we came across three people. It was a Spaniard, an Englishman, and I believe if I remember it right, it was a Dutch woman. And they had been partying all night long. And God just kind of spoke something into the heart of us, a group of, I think it was maybe three of us at that time, where we approached them and we were beginning to engage them in conversation like we had with many others. And we began to tell them about Christ, asking them in a very natural and fun way about you know, faith and Jesus and where they're at and what's going on in their life. And as we got to the point of asking them about this, we saw the Englishman who was, I mean, he was stumbling drunk. He could barely walk. And we watched God sober him up in an instant, where his mind became clear-headed, his speech, the slur stopped. And he said to us, "I need to know this Jesus." And when he said that, the Spaniard, he began to do something that totally freaked me out. He began to scream and yell. And afterwards, I realized this, you know, this is a demon manifesting itself in this Spanish man. And we just said, "In Jesus' name, be silent." Here we are, we're like 21 years old. We're shaking in our boots. And we're like, "In Jesus' name, be silent." And he shut up just like that. And we were able to introduce this man to Jesus and pray with him to receive Christ. This Dutch girl, this other person with them was a backslidden Christian as well. It blew my mind to see this, to see that Europeans and the conversations that we had, they were people, yes, with pockets filled with money, with all of the comforts of the world that you know we would enjoy, and they're wonderful gifts. Yet their souls were so empty, searching for hope, searching for meaning, searching for life. And God opened my eyes to Europe and the mission that is Europe. I read just recently how one of the leading missiologists in Europe, his name is Stefan Pass. He's a Dutch church planter, and he's a phenomenal, phenomenal Christian leader. He said this. He said, American missionaries, he said, they need to stop coming to Europe thinking they're bringing revival. In other words, bringing new life to something that is dying out. He said, instead, you need to approach Europe as a pure mission field, a place without faith, a place in desperate need of the light of Jesus Christ. My eyes saw something that I had not seen before. You see, to reach distant shores, we need new eyes. Number two, to reach distant shores, we need a new heart. A new heart. Proverbs 4:23, it says this, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." I love how in this story, Jesus said, "Let's go to the other side." And you don't really read it in the narrative that Mark writes here, But if you understand the context, I've kind of alluded to it already, there's all kinds of prejudice and all kinds of hatred that's directed from the disciples to this people. And so to ask these men to travel with Jesus and take him to the other side of the lake, it not only seemed to their eyes as foolish, but in their hearts, these were people that they probably hated. And Jesus wanted to change their heart. I love this. As they went, it says this, that they got in the boat, and even though they didn't have a love for the people, they took the source of love with them. Can I tell you that's where it starts? A new heart loving people around us starts with having Jesus. I'm talking about loving people the way that God would have us love them, with a full heart. And they may not have had love for the other side, but they had the source of love with them, and the one that would teach them how to love those on the other side of the lake. To reach distant shores, we need a new heart. You see, having love starts with having Jesus. See, here's what we know. Love moves us to action. Love moves us to action. Throughout the Gospels, many times we read that Jesus, seeing a person or a crowd of people that were broken and hurting, it says he was moved with compassion with what he saw and what he felt. His compassion moved him to act. Last year in 2019, Heather and I got to spend about 50 days in the city of Malaga. In fact, for several of those days, we were actually able to take Pastor Brooks and Sherry down with us. And together, we kind of walked the streets and showing them the things that God has been showing us, praying together at a location that we're just kind of thinking that this might be the location where the Lord would have us open the doors to the church. Walking through the neighborhood where the team that we're leading will go, and we'll all live there as we interact with the community and just love on this city. Our mission leaders, they came and joined us on one of these trips that Heather and I took, and they asked us, they said, Mark and Heather, what do you feel when you walk through this city? What do you feel when you pray over Malaga? And I love what my wife said. She says, it feels like when the doctor at the hospital gave us our first child and said, Mark, Heather, it's time to go home. We were terrified, but we knew we loved this child, and we knew that love would move us to the action that this child needed. We may not know what to do, but our love would drive us to figure it out. You see, to reach distant shores, to do what God's calling, I believe, calling us to do in mission this year, I believe we need new hearts. New hearts. You see, here's what happens so easily. In Matthew 13, 15, Jesus talks about how our hearts can become calloused. They can just become calloused to life around us, worn, unfeeling. Maybe it's hurts that come our way, or disappointments, or discouragement. They can bring calluses and cause our hearts to become hard. But can I tell you that Jesus makes our hearts soft? And tonight, maybe you're here and you feel that hardness, or you've dealt with discouragement, or you've dealt with disappointment. Can I tell you, maybe Christ wants to soften your heart in a new way, to make it softer than it's ever been before? Here's what I know about this mission life and being involved in the go and make disciples. The more I love Jesus, the more I love others. And the more I love others, the more missional I am towards them. The more I want them to know about this same Jesus that has touched my life and changed me. And so we pray, God, give us not only new eyes, but give us a new heart. Third and finally, to reach distant shores, here's what I believe we need. We need new faith. The kind of faith to believe that what seems impossible to us is possible with God. That what seems impossible to us is possible with God. You know, living life in mission, being a part of the Great Commission, the going and making disciples, I'm not just talking about the end of the link of the chain, the missionary on the field, but every link in that chain is important in order to get the gospel to where Christ is sending it. To be a part of that, it's difficult, it's challenging. And I love how in our story where Jesus directs the disciples to go to the other side of the lake, to the distant shore, I love how it says that a storm rose up. You know, many times we think, well, if you're doing the Lord's work, it should be easy, right? There shouldn't be any storms. There shouldn't be any difficulties. But it always seems like it's this way, isn't it? And I believe that's there for a reason. That in the going, in being a part of the mission that God has called us to collectively, to send the gospel out to the four corners of the world, that when storms arise, it's an opportunity for our faith to grow, to become stronger, to believe God for bigger things than we've ever believed him before. Can I tell you, our faith makes a difference? I love how in our story, this storm rises up, and I don't know how you picture it, but in my mind, I see the disciples struggling with all their might. They're rowing, they're bailing, maybe they're using their hands if they've got that spare bucket. They're using it to bail out that boat any way they can do just to survive. And I love how in this moment they put it all down and they say, you know what, we're going about this all wrong. There's somebody in this boat that can do something really powerful in this moment. Jesus, wake up. Don't you care if we drown? And of course he cared. And he rises up and with just a simple phrase, a command, to the raging world around him, he simply says, quiet, be still, and a peace settled upon him and upon them and upon that lake. And they crossed to the other side. You know, we all face storms, don't we? It seems a bit of an understatement in a year like we've had. God's growing our faith. He's growing our faith. When we got ready for this mission work in Spain, we did like what every good missionary does. I mean, we did our research. We're reading books. We're checking out, you know, research on the internet. We're talking to people. We're talking to missionaries that are there. And we're just getting the lay of the land and trying to figure out, okay, how is this going to work? What's going to happen? And the majority, the vast majority of the missionaries that we spoke with, that communicated with us in different ways, basically the message was just basically, Mark, Heather, hang on. Just be faithful. Just do your best because Spain is a hard, hard field. And maybe you might see a few things happen. But I can tell you as a missionary here, Mark, you guys just need to sow seed and be faithful. And that is true. We need to sow seed and be faithful. Maybe that's a word for us for Malaga, where we're going, sow seed and be faithful. But our position in all of this was simply this, and we were encouraged by the team we were a part of in Barcelona, that in the middle of what seems hard, of what seems impossible, let's believe that God can do the impossible, that God can work where it seems like he can't work. That God is maybe even working in people's lives already, that we may think that he's not working in their lives. And we've seen God do the amazing. When we were 3 months there, it was a February, I think it was, maybe it was March of 2018. We went on a tour, a city tour. And just to get to know the city, you know, hear more about Spain, learn about what's happening there, get a feel for what people think, just to have a little bit of context in the city that we were ministering in. And we met a tour guide. His name was Paolo. Some of you know Paolo. Paolo was our guide that day, and we went up to him and engaged in conversation after it, and we invited him to come to the church, and he was blown away. That we would take the time to encourage him and invite him to come and be a part of what's happening at the International Church there. And we struck up a conversation with him there, and it was wonderful. And we didn't see Paolo for a couple of months, but it was amazing. This is the guy that we ran into, like every 3 months, somewhere in this city of like 4 or 5 million people, we would just bump into him. I mean, it's a God assignment. And what was amazing is Paolo, we found out, he eventually started coming to the church. He had been a believer in Bolivia as a teenager, but he he had come to Barcelona. He went there to better his life, to start a business, figure out how to live. And he took his mom with him. And our connection with him helped him to reconnect with his old faith and to begin to serve the Lord again. And Paulo has a long way to go in his faith. But it's one of these amazing assignments where we saw God working in somebody before we even began speaking with him. And when Paulo came, the first time he came that Sunday night, 6 p.m. there, he showed up with his mom, and his mom brought her like 70-plus-year-old Catalan boyfriend who had never heard the gospel, never been to a church before in his life, which is like most Spaniards, and Catalan is a particular region of Spain. But he was like most of them, and for him to come and hear that gospel presentation, we don't know what God's doing with all of that, but here's what we do know, that God is at work in people's lives, that he's touching people like Paulo, like Paulo's mom, like Paulo's mom's boyfriend. And the list goes on and on. I could tell you about Ernesto and Esteban, Maria and Tony, and people that have come to faith and people that we are still believing will come to faith in Jesus. But we're believing that what seems impossible to us is possible with God. It was maybe about a year and a half ago now, maybe 2 years ago, where our mission leaders said to us, Mark and Heather, we believe that that we need to plant an international church in Malaga. And will you guys go? We know it's in your heart, but will you guys go and do this? And for us, it was kind of like it wasn't a phone call, but I'll just use that as the way of communication because it's simpler. But in this phone call, so to speak, it was like the moment we put that phone down and we were like, yes, we heard from the Lord, because this is something the Lord put in our heart many years ago. And it was just a timing thing. And so we're like, yes, we heard from the Lord, but we put down the phone and we're just like, we're kind of thinking to ourselves, how are we going to do this? You know, how is this going to work? And it was kind of like Moses at the burning bush. God said, this is what I want you to do. We're just going through the checklist. Like, okay, we're almost 50. You know, I'll be 50 by the time we get there. We don't have kids. We don't even have a pet yet. You know, it's a great way to interact with Spaniards on the streets. How are we going to do this? You know, we barely speak Spanish. We're getting along okay. We don't know the city. I mean, this is ludicrous. It's crazy, right? It makes no sense. But God just simply said, you know, Mark, Heather, will you trust me? Will you just trust me? Will you believe? And here's what we've watched God do as we believe. We've watched God bring team members to us. And we're watching him bring others. People who are fluent in Spanish. People who have like 3 kids. One young couple has a baby girl. People who are passionate about mission, passionate about the church, and passionate about seeing people come to faith in Jesus Christ. We had a wonderful conversation with a young lady that we're talking about who is considering and praying about joining our team, who lives right in Malaga. And we're just watching God bring together a phenomenal team. Look, we know it's not going to be an easy road, but we know that as we trust God, as we choose just to believe him, that he's going to do amazing things, that he's going to touch lives just as we saw in Barcelona. He's going to do the same thing in Malaga. And we believe, just even as our pastor said tonight, that God's going to use that place to be an incredible influence in that region. Not just planting one church, but planting multiple churches, seeing leaders raised up, watching a city that so few, in fact, there's probably more in this room tonight. Well, not quite. Not quite. Today, there's been more people in this room than there would be lifting up the name of Jesus in that entire city of Malaga. So few churches, so few opportunity for people to hear the gospel. But here's what we know. God does the impossible. He does the impossible. If we'll see with new eyes, like transition was the operative word that Heather used. If we'll see with new eyes, I mean, we still feel like we're in transition from 2016. And God's still changing us. And he's got a lot of change and he still has to do in us. But if we'll be willing to surrender and say, God, and I believe this is a message for all of us tonight, World Impact Week, God, would you give me new eyes? God, would you give me, would you do something new in my heart? Lord, I surrender my heart to you. God, Would you do something new in my mind, in my belief? I choose to believe how you want me to believe. God, give me new faith. You know the amazing thing about this story from Mark chapter 4 is when they went across the lake, they met a guy called the Gerasene demoniac. Do you know that story? If you don't, read it, Mark chapter 5. Amazing. Power encounter. Jesus just blows the doors off this thing. And this man comes, becomes a follower of Jesus, this infamous crazy guy. And he says, Jesus, I want to go back with you and your disciples across to the other side of the lake. I want to do that. And Jesus says to him, no, you stay here. You stay here. And if you read in the gospel account a couple of chapters later, what you find is this, is that he spent his time walking through that region, the Decapolis, and sharing what Christ had done. This infamous man that so many people knew was a demon-possessed, terrorizing, crazy man. Jesus had changed his life, and he became a testimony. Jesus would go back to the Decapolis. And when he went back, the people were ready to receive him. And the Bible, the Gospels talk about how an incredible move of God took place in the region of the 10 towns, in this region of Decapolis. And it all started with people who were willing to see things they had never seen before, who were willing to say, Jesus, help me to feel the way that you feel about this people that I don't particularly like. Jesus, help us, give us the faith we need to believe that what seems impossible with us is absolutely possible with God. Lord, would you do that? Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Father, we thank you for who you are and for your love for us and for this world. Lord, we've heard you tonight, and I believe that you have been speaking to us all throughout this day and this night. God, would you give us the courage to say, I surrender. I surrender my sight. I surrender my heart. I surrender my mind to believe like never before. Thank you, Jesus. Here's what I'd like to do tonight. In closing, would you just stand with me? Could we do that? Would you stand with me? I know we're going to have some time at the altar here in prayer. And so this is kind of how I feel like I want us to move in this direction. I just feel like it would be right for us to just join together as a family. I know there's social distancing and stuff, and so certainly if you would feel uncomfortable, maybe you can stay where you're at. But I want to invite you to come to this altar, to come and just as an offering to Christ, saying, Jesus, my answer is yes. Now, what's the question? What do you want from me? What do you want to do in me? I believe that tonight, many of us, God wants to touch your sight. Maybe he wants to touch your heart. Maybe he wants to give you a faith like you've never had before to believe for those impossible things. Can we do that together tonight? Would you just come as Pastor Dan leads us? Just come from right where you're at. Come on down and let's just begin to allow God to speak to us in bigger and deeper and greater ways. Just come.